Right, 0289033105. Now, what's happening in the SDLP? Claire Hannah isn't happy, but the leader, Colm Eastwood, thinks they're doing the right thing. They're certainly in partnership with Fianna Fáil, seen as the Irish opposition party. So what's the reasoning behind all of this, and have they made the right move? Let me speak to Malachy O'Doherty, who's available to have a conversation with us. Good morning, Malachy.
Good morning, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Malachy. I suppose anyone from outer space arriving to be informed and you had to tell them in a very short burst what on earth the SDLP were up to, you would say Sinn Féin are really important. The SDLP are competing with Sinn Féin for votes. Sinn Féin are seen as the Republican Party here. Actually, Fianna Fáil technically are the Republican Party in Ireland, and the SDLP, if they're going to eat into Sinn Féin, need to be a wee bit more Republican. Is that a fair assessment?
I'm not sure more Republican describes it. I think, in a sense, you mean Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil are going to be in competition, well, are in competition with each other. So the more Sinn Féin claims the Republican mantle, I suppose Fianna Fáil will say, we own that mantle, we'll take it back from you. But the other possibility is that they will play down their republicanism, in a sense, and leave that space to Sinn Féin. I don't know. I mean, that's a tricky one. You would actually think that logically the more natural alliance, on ideological terms, would be Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin. I think for the SDLP, there are a couple of things here. One is they look like they will have the resources of a major professional political party available to them in some way. They will also be in some kind of partnership or working arrangement with Fianna Fáil at a time when Fianna Fáil will be in government, because Fianna Fáil will be in government again in the South. And you can say that about Fianna Fáil with greater certainty than you can say it about Sinn Féin. So all that begins to look quite good for the SDLP, you know, if they're in that position. The question is the price they pay for it. To lose Claire Hannah, you know, is a big, big loss. Now, Claire is saying she's still in the SDLP, but she's not going to be the Brexit spokesperson anymore. She's not going to attend assembly party meetings. That, I don't think that works for her. I can't really see that working. I can see that carrying her to the next assembly election, if there ever is another assembly election. But I can't see it. You know, it's a bit like taking a job with U105 and saying I don't want promotion. You know, it's a bit like saying you want to be a politician, but you don't want to be a party leader. You don't want to hold political office. That doesn't work. So I don't see Claire. I haven't spoken to her about it, so I don't know. But I can't see her staying in the SDLP on those terms. Is she the sort of person who would be organising a coup against Colm Eastwood? I wouldn't have thought so either. But then again, Colm Eastwood might be feeling much more uncomfortable with this than he expected to, because Claire is a big loss. And a lot of people who voted for this arrangement wouldn't have seen that an inevitable outcome of that would be the loss of Claire Hannah. And the Hannah family are a big SDLP family. You know, Claire's mother, Carmel, was health minister, wasn't she? So I don't see... I see some difficulty for Colm Eastwood in this, but I don't see a lot of room for growth for Claire in the position she's in at the moment.
Just looking at Twitter feeds and whatever, and Patsy McGlone saying that it's all going very well and new people are joining the party, but I that's obviously a reaction to Claire Hannah leaving, not Claire Hannah leaving, but Claire Hannah objecting to the level that she has objected. And other people representing the youth, representing LGBT in the party, they've stood aside as well, haven't they?
Yeah. There was always that kind of problem with the SDLP as well, that they weren't all that enthusiastic about same-sex marriage and stuff. And certainly not enthusiastic about abortion law reform. But Claire would be associated with that as well. Claire would be associated with the great uneasiness about abortion law reform. And I don't know where she is, whether she's come around to an idea that you can disapprove of these things, but you shouldn't legislate against them or something like that. But, I mean, she would be associated with that moral conservatism in the party as well. So you know that's a challenge as well. I mean, Fianna Fáil is now on board fully for same-sex marriage. Obviously, they've legalised it down there at the referendum, and fully on board for the legalisation of abortion, which they've done. So I don't see why that should be such a big problem. The only thing here, if I was in the LGBT community, I would be directing my ire at those who are blocking Stormont coming back. You know, I'd say, well, you know, why? You know, that's where those issues are going to be sorted out for the people of Northern Ireland, and not to have Stormont back is a huge dereliction of responsibility on the part of the parties who have the power to stitch it together. Or direct rule. You know, put the pressure on voices at Westminster to get direct rule or law reform there. But I mean, that's been tried and hasn't got very far yet.
With regards to but just with regards to the SDLP and their name, and I know this, so we've had Sinead Bradley on this programme before talking about this very issue, but it's again the man from Mars asking the question. You know, if you're the Social Democratic and Labour Party, and then you've got the Irish Labour Party in the south, so why are they at loggerheads now with the Irish Labour Party? Because they'll be canvassing against the Labour Party, even though they are technically a Labour Party.
Technically, I mean, were they a Labour Party after Paddy Devlin? You know, I mean, Paddy was a good sound socialist. John Hume, I don't think in his era was particularly minded towards the Labour side of things, but then he was a kind of a single project politician who was looking for an advance in the nationalist profile and a peace process. After Hume, I mean, what's the SDLP been doing for in terms of the Labour agenda? All they've succeeded in doing in terms of the Labour agenda is blocking the Labour Party from organising in Northern Ireland, isn't it? You know, I mean, you have the Labour Party saying, we won't organise in Northern Ireland because you've already got a Labour Party there. Well, we have a Labour Party in name, a Social Democratic Labour Party, which is a Labour Party in name. But, you know, it's not been, well, maybe it hasn't been big enough to do anything particularly vigorous, you know. But one of the speculations, certainly on social media this morning and yesterday, is that argument against Labour organising in Northern Ireland is now gone, because the SDLP, perceived as being in the armpit of Fianna Fáil, can no longer be regarded as a Labour Party anyway. So that opens up that possibility. These are things that people are airing and talking about, and we'll see how they work out. But I mean, I never felt that the SDLP was a particularly strong working class party. I mean, it's a strange party in a way. I mean, in that it's been more like a cluster of little fiefdoms. You know, you had, Colm Eastwood has Derry. He inherited it from the Durkins and Hume, you know. But I mean, when has Colm been in the media in Belfast? Colm has got very, very little profile in Belfast. For somebody who is the leader of the party to just basically leave the media front running to Belfast, you know, that doesn't look like the proper conduct of a party leader. So Claire Hanna and Nicola Mallon are the media champions of the party, and yet they weren't the leaders of the party. You had in Seamus Mallon's time, you had that Armagh faction of the party as well. It is localized regional parties, you know, that coalesce and call themselves a big party, but with each bit of it looking after its own area. And in many ways, a lot of the energy of this SDLP goes into the council work, and that's where it is still strong, and that's where its roots are. And whether it has prospects for growth into a major party, it doesn't seem to be inclined towards growing into being what you and I would call a Labour Party.
Just one final question to you, Malachy, and I'm not sure whether they are, as I said at the beginning, you know, clutching at straws or pulling off some form of masterstroke. What's in this for Fianna Fáil?
I suppose what's in it is very little, but I mean, they're not given very much, you know, to get their very little, but their little is that they can say, maybe we speak with some authority in Northern Affairs now, because we have a nationalist party in Northern Ireland as our partner party, or you know, our associate party, whatever the terminology they're using is. So they can maybe you know, use that against Sinn Féin. Maybe the very fact that the SDLP has, in many ways, at ground level, got the goods on Sinn Féin. You know, maybe they can feed that into the system, and you would see that expressing itself more in an election thing. One of the things that always annoyed me about the SDLP was you would find yourself at party conference in a bar talking to some of the top people in the SDLP, and they would be fulminating with rage about Sinn Féin and the IRA, and we're going back the decades of the Troubles and everything in the peace process. And yet, you know, there was this kind of political conviction that you couldn't go too hard on them. You know, once you were actually on a podium or in a media interview or something, you went that wee bit softer on Sinn Féin and on the IRA. And that instinct has not served them well, I don't think. I think, you know, what they've been doing in the North is fighting Sinn Féin for electoral space, for political space. That's the only space that's really open to them. They weren't going to go and convert many unionists to voting for the SDLP, and therefore, in a sense, what they should have done was really at every opportunity stick the boot right into Sinn Féin, and yet there was a feeling that if we do that, we're conceding something to the unionists, or if we do that, we're undermining our own peace process, and therefore, if we do that, people in our own community will mutter against us, and we'll get a hard time out of that, you know. But that was always only the only political project available to them, the only way in which they could claim space within the political domain, and maybe if the energy and the conviction, and I mean, Micheál Martin's going to turn around and say, look, you know, guys, it's Mary Lou McDonald is the problem now, and we've just got to cut the legs out from under her, and that's the job in hand. And are you on for that, or aren't you? You know, and the SDLP in many occasions has sounded to me as if it's not really on for that job at all.
It'll be a long time before a unionist leader suggests that he would give his second vote to an SDLP person.
I think that's wrong. I think there have been times, certainly during the peace process, I think that there have been times. But I think, you know, there was that moment, wasn't there?
With Mike
after '98, when it was Trimble and Mallon, and you kind of thought, is there the prospect of these two, securing the middle ground? And now we just seem to have lost the notion that there is a middle ground. And I think Trimble and Mallon were both personally to blame for a lost opportunity at that time.
Yeah, well, I was more alluding to Mike Nesbitt at the relatively recent elections, where some people say he shot himself in the foot with the suggestion. Other people would have said, actually, his thinking was pretty cross-community orientated. But the SDLP's move now to be more Republican, for want of a better term, it's a bit of a two fingers to the unionists, isn't it?
Well, I don't know, because I don't know if it's about being more Republican, you know, and I think the unionists would be quite impressed if the SDLP does take the fight to Mary Lou, you know. But I think in terms of Northern Irish politics, I mean, we are banjaxed here. We don't have an assembly. We don't really have a Good Friday Agreement. We scuppered the Good Friday Agreement at St Andrews, you know, when you give the advantage to the largest party in each community, and that kind of drove the sectarian division further. So that's what I mean about that moment before St Andrews with Trimble and Mallon. There was that prospect that you might secure a middle ground. There's no political advantage to that cross community endeavour now. The Alliance Party has it. The Alliance Party is your middle ground now, and the Greens and you know, the smaller parties around them. But you know, for Sinn Féin and for unionism, it's sectarian politics all the way. It's about defining your community and representing the community. And the post St Andrews, the Ulster Unionist Party and the SDLP got completely squashed. And so I suppose, you know, there has to be somewhere else for them to go. I mean, a lot of the thinking for this, you know, I think came out of Derry. It came out of people who were working as advisors within Fianna Fáil. I'm thinking of one chap in particular, who's now gone off to work with the Scottish Nationalists, you know. But it kept a bit of a political brain box. you know, and a close friend of Colm Eastwood's. And you know, I would love to sit down with him and see just how he envisages the whole thing working out. But a political party which squanders talent like Claire Hannah is just being reckless, unless it's got an awful lot to gain by doing that. And then on the other side of it is, well, you know, what future is there in politics for anyone here anyway, if we don't have an assembly?
Okay, Malachy, thank you very much. The commentary of Malachy O'Doherty on the current status of the SDLP. Your opinions are always very welcome.